Please turn to Ephesians chapter 5, and we want to read verses 15, 16, and 17. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. In these few verses, some very important instructions are given for the benefit of God's people. In verse 15, we're told to walk circumspectly. That means to live and to conduct ourselves in a way that pleases the Lord. According to the latter part of verse 15, rather than live foolishly, we are to live with wisdom. We're to live wisely. We learn from verse 16 that we are to redeem the time. That simply means that we're to make the best use of our time. And then verse 17 teaches us to understand the Lord's will. All of these instructions go together. They're very closely related. And in my judgment, if we will follow them with the Lord's help to the very best of our ability, we'll be pleasing the Lord. This morning, we're especially interested in the admonition to redeem the time. Since we had the time change last night, I thought maybe this would be a good time to talk about redeeming the time. Verse 16 teaches us why it's so important that we redeem the time. Because the days are evil. Now that statement was written by the Apostle Paul in the first century. That was the Apostle's inspired assessment of the condition of the world at his time. The same thing applies today. It's important for us to redeem the time. Why? First, because God says so. But then we learn that the days are evil. That being the case, it's important for us to make the very best use of our time. Well, in our lesson, we want to concentrate for a little while on how to make the best use of our time. We certainly can't do a thorough study of this subject in one lesson, because it's so much involved. But the way we want to approach our lesson is to consider five activities that waste time. It's important for us to do that so we can avoid them. But then we want to point out five helpful activities that involve time well spent. Now, remember, in connection with the admonition to redeem the time, we're told to be wise, and we're told to avoid being foolish. We need to understand that there are some uses of time that are foolish, that are to be avoided, but then there are ways of using our time that are wise, and those are matters that we must pursue. Let's begin with five activities that we would consider to be a waste of time. We would consider that based on what the scriptures teach. I'm afraid sometimes we don't consider these matters to be a waste of time, but according to the scriptures, they are. Number one, and these are in no particular order of importance, we need to be aware of these things as well as many others that we could talk about. But these are five activities that are quite commonly practiced that we would consider to be a waste of time. Number one is looking back. According to the scriptures, looking back is a waste of time. In Luke 9, in verse 62, Jesus said, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Now, our Lord made that statement in connection with some individuals that were at least interested in being his followers. Each one had something to say about why he shouldn't follow the Lord at that particular time. Jesus concluded by making that statement, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Also, in Luke 17 in verse 32, Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. I never cease to be amazed how Jesus could say so much in such a few words. What did Lot's wife do? She looked back. Sodom was about to be destroyed. The angels led Lot and his family, that is his wife and two daughters, out of the city. And they were told, don't look back. Well, for some reason, Lot's wife did look back, and she became a pillar of salt. Do you think Mrs. Lot would tell us that looking back is a waste of time? I think she would say that. Let's consider another waste of time. That is loving the world. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10, we read about a man named Demas. Now, in other verses, he's mentioned as being a faithful co-worker with the Apostle Paul. But then in Paul's last letter, when he was writing to Timothy, he said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. How sad. I've often wondered what it would have been like to accompany the Apostle Paul as he was out preaching the gospel and serving the Lord. Demas enjoyed that blessing, but then he got caught up in love for the world. Consequently, he forsook Paul, and when he did, he forsook the Lord. Now let's notice what the Apostle John wrote about loving the world. 1 John chapter 2, let's read a few verses starting at verse 15. 1 John chapter 2, starting at verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now John gave some clear instructions on how to avoid something that's a waste of time. He said, don't love the world. He's not talking about the physical world. He explains what he's talking about. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's worldliness. That's what we're to avoid. Getting caught up in love for the world is a waste of time. Number three is listening to false teachers. Let's look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. There was a problem in the first century with teachers spreading things that they should not have been teaching. Consequently, John said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. That was a sober warning that John gave a long time ago, and we need to continue to give heed to that very serious warning. Don't believe something just because someone says it who claims to be speaking on behalf of God. He said, try the spirits. Of course, the standard for trying something is the Word of God. And in connection with that, let's consider what Jesus said toward the end of his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7. Let's read a few verses starting at verse 15. Now, Jesus spent most of his sermon presenting his will, teaching people how to live, and he also dealt with some practices of his day that were not right. He pointed them out. He revealed his will. But then he gave this very serious warning. I've often wondered if John thought about this when he wrote 1 John 4 and verse 1 that we just read. But our Lord said, beware of false prophets. This is Matthew 7 and verse 15. Which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Jesus gave a very strong warning against listening to false prophets. He said, beware of them. Listening to false teachers is a waste of time. But over the years, I've known a number of people who have tried to justify listening to some of these false prophets on TV. Sometimes the excuse is made, well, they teach a lot of good. Well, that might be the case. How much error does it take to condemn someone's soul? Not much. I think we need to listen to the Lord and an inspired apostle. They said, don't listen to false prophets. Listening to them is a waste of time. Another activity that's a waste of time is worry. It's something that many of us struggle with. I guess most people do to some extent. But think about it. Worry is a waste of time. We might ask, then why do we do it? Well, let's listen to some instruction from the Word of God. Since we're in the Sermon on the Mount, go back to chapter 6 of the Gospel of Matthew, and let's read a few verses starting at verse 31. You see, that's one of the subjects that Jesus dealt with in his great sermon, and he dealt with it in detail. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Then in verse 34, he said, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, beginning at verse 25 of Matthew 6, Jesus dealt with the matter of being filled with anxiety over things such as we would call them the necessities of life. He mentioned food, drink, and clothing. He said, don't be filled with anxiety over such things as that. And Jesus gave some very potent reasons for avoiding that practice. We have enough to be concerned about today without worrying about tomorrow. You know, I heard someone make a statement one time that stuck with me for a long time. I wish I could repeat it exactly the way I heard it. But do you know the percentage of things that we worry about that never come to pass? It's very high. I wish I could give you the exact percentage. But when I heard that, and I thought, then why do I spend so much time worrying? I got to thinking about it. And sure enough, the things that we worry about many times just never come to pass. By the way, does worrying about them do any good? Now, we have concerns. There's a difference in having a concern and being filled with anxiety over something. The Lord knows that we have concerns on our minds. I can remember a number of years ago, it was in 1974. I was working for a company in Jacksonville, and on one Monday morning, 450 employees were laid off. I was one of them. I wasn't worried. I was a single man. I had a job the next day. But I tell you, after I said I do to Miss Teresa, things took on a whole different light, because not only was I concerned about myself, I was concerned about her, and I was more concerned about her. Well, we have concerns. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about being filled with anxiety to the point where we just can't function. Worry is a waste of time. Now, this is the passage that I like to consider in connection with that is Philippians 4 and verse 6. Philippians 4 and verse 6 says, be careful for nothing. Now, the word careful means to be filled with anxiety, or we would call it worry. What is the answer for being careful over something? What's the proper way to approach things? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. When we have concerns, we need to express those concerns to God. And what a blessing it is to be able to talk to God through prayer about things that are on our minds. But then, we need to trust that things will be taken care of. Now, we have responsibilities to fulfill, but we need to trust that the Lord's will be done. Worry is a waste of time. I want to mention something else that's a waste of time. Murmuring. Philippians 2 and verse 14 says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. And in connection with that, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 10 is written to Christians, but it's based on something that the Israelites did. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now, in the context, Paul was writing about a number of things that the Israelites did that we are to avoid. We need to learn from their mistakes. That's the point that's being made. How many times did the Israelites get caught up in murmuring about things? I just finished reading the book of Deuteronomy in my daily Bible reading and started on the book of Joshua, and I never cease to be amazed how in Exodus and Numbers especially, the Israelites murmured about everything. Moses, we're thirsty. Moses, we're hungry. What was ahead of the children of Israel? A land flowing with milk and honey. It had been promised to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their descendants. But the Israelites couldn't endure a little bit of hardship until they finally arrived in the promised land. Because of their murmuring, many of them did not enter into the promised land. Now, that being the case, an admonition for Christians is, don't murmur, as the Israelites murmured. Many of them were destroyed because of it. Murmuring is a waste of time. Well, these are some activities that we would consider to be foolish, and remember, in connection with redeeming the time, the Bible says, make a distinction between that which is wise and that which is unwise. Avoid that which is foolish. Well, these are all foolish ways of using our time that we need to avoid if we want to redeem the time or make the best use of our time. Well, those are some activities that we need to avoid, and there are many others we could talk about. But if we will pray for wisdom and then pursue it, we will understand which activities are wise and which one are foolish so that we can avoid the foolish ones. Let's turn our attention to five helpful activities that involve time well spent. By the way, have you ever done something and then after it was over, maybe you thought you were following the right course, and then things didn't turn out the way that you thought they would, and you say, boy, that was a waste of time. I wish I knew how many times I've said that. Well, it would have been helpful to recognize that waste of time ahead of time. Well, we learn from experience, don't we? Sometimes experience is a good teacher. We need to be able to differentiate between wise ways of using our time, pursue those, and avoid foolish ways of using our time. They're a waste of time. But you know, if you undertake something and it turns out well, you say, boy, that was time well spent. Let's talk about some activities that involve time well spent. I believe this is where we need to begin. The time that we spend studying and meditating upon the Word of God is time well spent. We need to develop the philosophy of the psalmist in Psalm 119 and verse 97. He said, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. That's a wonderful statement. I wish I knew who wrote Psalm 119, but that's one of the psalms that's designated as being anonymous. In other words, we don't know who the writer was. But that one psalm, although it's very long, contains some powerful information. But he expressed his love for the Word of God in that particular statement. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. I believe the writer understood that studying and meditating upon Scripture is time well spent. Since we mentioned that, let's look at Psalm 19 and notice how David described the Word of God. We know who wrote this particular psalm. I just mentioned David, and it's a beautiful psalm. Let's notice what he said in it concerning the Lord's Word. He describes it and shows what it does for us. Psalm 19, starting at verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. The time we spend studying Scripture and meditating upon it is time well spent. Well, that's God speaking to us from His Word. We also speak. And the time that we spend speaking properly is time well spent. I think you already know what verse we're going to consider. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. The time that we spend speaking properly is time well spent. It's important for us to speak properly because Jesus indicated in Matthew 12 and verse 37 that we're going to be judged on the basis of what we say. Matthew 12 and verse 37 says, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. our words come forth from our hearts. And Jesus made that very clear in Matthew chapter 12. It's important for us to speak properly. When we do, that is time well spent. Understand that a word fitly spoken is saying the right thing at the right time in the right way. You know, you can say one thing but not say it in the best way, and it's going to have a harmful effect. Saying the right thing at the right time in the right way. The time that we spend having proper priorities is time well spent. Jesus dealt with this in Matthew 6 and verse 33. We've already read a few verses from this chapter where Jesus was dealing with the matter of being filled with care or anxiety over things such as the necessities of life. He says, Matthew 6 and verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The time that we spend having proper priorities is time well spent. We all have decisions to make. We all have choices to make. We need to be sure that our priorities are in the right order when we make those decisions and make those choices. Number four has to do with time that we spend being optimistic. The time that we spend being optimistic is time well spent. A passage that comes to mind is Philippians 4 and verse 13. The Apostle Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." It's interesting that when Paul wrote Philippians, he was in prison. In his letters, he listed out the things that he suffered on behalf of following the Lord. But through it all, he always maintained a spirit of optimism. You know, the effects of that verse are far-reaching. I've even seen a number of athletes who sometimes have some pagan practices will have that particular scripture maybe on an eye color or maybe something that's being worn. You see Philippians 4:13 all the time. Well, it expresses optimism. And the time that we maintain an optimistic spirit is time well spent. I believe it will have a good influence upon other people. You listen to reports on the news or listen to people who have a big audience today, and we hear a lot of negativity and a lot of things that are destructive. But when someone stands out with an optimistic spirit, well, he just stands out. That's time well spent. I believe the next matter we want to mention is closely related to being optimistic. That is, the time that we spend thinking on the right things is time well spent. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 gives us a whole list of things that we need to think about. Philippians 4 and verse 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." And as the wise man said, "As he thinketh in his heart, so is he." That's Proverbs 23 and verse 7. It's important for us to think on proper things because that's going to determine what we are, what we do, what we say. The time that we spend thinking on proper things is time well spent because it will have a tremendous impact upon us. Well, according to Ephesians 5 and verse 16, it's important for us to make the best use of our time. Why? Because the days are evil. We're surrounded by evil influence all the time. Therefore, it's important for us to make the very best use of our time. And because we live in a time when evil is widespread, it's important for us to redeem the time. Let's make a commitment to avoid activities that waste time, harmful activities. But then with all of our might, let's pursue activities that involve time well spent. Remember, in the context, Paul contrasted foolish ways with wise ways. Perhaps it would help us to pray for wisdom, as James teaches us to do, and pursue wise ways. We'll be able to identify foolish ways, and then with the Lord's help, we can forsake them, and we'll be spending our time in a very good way. Let's think about these things as we go through our daily lives. I believe that these instructions found in Ephesians 5 are very important, and they certainly are very helpful.